I'm going to call this meeting to order. This would be a good time if anybody has a cellular phone on, just put it on vibrate or silent or anything like that. Can you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll get kind of an early start here today because we have a pretty busy agenda. Oh, am I bothering you guys over there? Oh, okay. First up, item four, approval of the agenda for April the 2nd, 2014. Everybody good with that? I have a motion for approval.
A second.
Move the second for approval. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item five, approval of the minutes for February 18th, 2014. Mr. Beach, you have something about the, on the minutes for February the 18th?
Yes, about the minutes for February 18th.
Very good. Come on up.
Dale Beach, Mark Twain. Yes, it's my belief that maybe inadvertently Commissioner Gilman voted on the steakhouse here in town. I just thought I'd bring it to your attention. Heretofore, he's always stepped back and moved out and not done it. At last meeting, he did, voted for that whole bunch of stuff, and the steakhouse was there.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Beach. Anyone else have anything on the minutes of February the 18th? Move for approval?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second for approval of the minutes of February the 18th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number six, approval of the minutes for March the 18th, 2014. Anyone have anything on the minutes? This time, that's for a motion for approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes for March the 18th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, moving along to the consent agenda. Anybody have any questions on the consent agenda? Do you have any questions on the consent agenda today? Okay. Move for approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Move in the second for approval of the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Let's recess rather than adjourn, okay?
Yeah. Okay, at this time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and reconvene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. Excuse me. Okay.
You're going to go item 10 then, right?
Yes. Who's that? Austin? There we go. Item 10, discussion of possible action, approval of the modification and extension of the collective bargaining agreement between Story County Fire Protection District, which is the employer, and Story County Firefighters Association, IAFF Local 4227, which is the union. Mr. Osborne.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. Austin Osborne, Administrative Officer for the record. First of all, before I begin here, what we're looking at is approval or recommendation for approval of a collective bargaining agreement, tentative agreement between the employer and the union. I'd like to just say a thanks to a few members of the union who are working with us as well as members of our team in going through all the fiscal items on this as well as other things. It was a fairly benign situation. We were able to come up with an agreement where both sides had their own interests And I just want to send a special thanks to our union president, Victor Yohe, as well as the people that worked with him, Bryce Montoya and Roy Thompson. And then, of course, members of our team that also worked heavily on coming up with an agreement that is fiscally responsible and addresses the needs of both sides. So I planned on today just hitting on a couple key elements of what's being proposed to this board with regard to this contract. The contract is pertaining to the IFF Story County Fire Union and the Story County Board of Fire Commissioners as the employer. It would be a three-year contract between 2014 and 17, and it will basically do three things that are substantial. One is with regard to salaries. We're currently working under a three-salary schedule. That means there's three steps, and the steps between, or the money that is between each step is substantial. What we were able to do is to take those three steps and essentially stretch them out like a deflated balloon, I guess you could call it, and take that money that's on the bottom end of that stretched out salary schedule, which now will have seven steps instead of three steps. That means an employee that begins from year one will have to go through all 7 years of steps before that person tops out. Where currently the employee that comes on board only has to go through three steps. And while we're adding a couple steps at the top end, meaning there now will be a potential step increase for next year and for the year after for existing capped out employees, new employees that come on board will have to take, to get the same amount of money or the same amount of salary, they'll have to go through a 7-year process as opposed to going through a 3-year process. And this is substantial savings. For example, if you have one employee that comes on board, and it depends on whether that employee is a captain or a paramedic or an EMT, an employee that comes on board going through even for a 3-year contract between 1, 2, and 3 steps, that could be a $29 or a $35 or a $42,000 savings for the county just for that one employee, depending on whether that employee is a captain, a paramedic, or an EMT. So that is really the biggest concept of this new article, is stretching that salary schedule out. And essentially what we did is to provide for the top end increase, we took from the bottom end and tried to average it out, basically a cut and fill type of situation. The next thing we have is the health benefits. I really can't overstate this. I know members of our team can't overstate it. As the county, for the first time in history, is finally getting off of dependent care coverage. That meaning coverage for dependents, coverage for spouses. We now have a contract in front of us, or a draft contract. AFSCME already has this contract. Is that employees hired on or after this year are not going to receive any benefits for employees, spouses, or the employees' dependents. The employee will be able to be on our plan, but that employee is going to have to pay for that 100%. Over the next few years, and definitely over the next 10-year period, this is going to be a substantial increase in savings to the county. I mean, if you were to look at one employee just for 1 year, for example, or five employees that would be hired into the fire district, you're looking at a potential $35,000 savings just for that person. And the last thing that this contract really deals with are non-salary benefits. The non-salary benefits, things are like vacation leave, buyouts, and incentive pays, shift differentials, instructor pay, things like that. And these are also items that we were able to ratchet back, and if not ratchet back, but provide where the employee actually has to work for these incentives. An example would be is an employee gets instructor pay. That means the employee is not only qualified to be, let's say, a firefighter, but this employee is also qualified to be an instructor for firefighter. Under the existing contract, they get an incentive for that, and that's the end of it. Under the new contract, they actually have to put in 15 hours of instruction per year, actually use that benefit to the district's benefit, and things like that. I think another item that's very important to see here is we now have a reopener clause in this contract, and I think under the fiscal situation we're in, it's very important to have this. The current contract has nothing. Now we're going to have a 5% reopener. So that means if the district at any time anticipates a 5% budget shortfall, this contract and the fiscal related matters in this contract can be reopened for negotiating to adjust the contract maybe as needed to meet those fiscal demands. And then the last portion of this is cleanup. Cleanup is substantial. It's just having language throughout the contract that not only makes it more administrable in my office, but also if there's ever an item that went to fact-finding or arbitration or whatever it might be. Now, the contract is very clear and very well-written on what exactly terms mean, and there's no ambiguity. And so really, I'm happy to answer any questions that go through in this point, but those are really the main key elements of this contract.
Mr. Schwagen?
I like this, what, the sound of that. So, are you ready for a motion?
Yes. Commissioner Gilman?
I'd like to take a minute to commend our Fire Chief Gary and Hugh Gallagher and the team effort that went into crafting this document. I've been through it carefully and in detail. You guys are really turning the ship, and you know, I've noticed that the folks that work with us in the fire department are becoming more sensitive to fiscal issues and sustainability, and that we all must work together as a community to remain whole. Generally, our union contracts are unsustainable. They have absolute increases and increases and increases no matter what our revenue stream is. And everybody that's paid attention to what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, our revenue streams are shrinking dramatically. And so for you to have the opportunity with the union to revisit this contract, if in fact we fall below 5%, I just, I'm sensing a real spirit and esprit de corps and a communication effort here, and we're turning the ship. And I thank you very much, everyone at this table, everyone on staff, everyone down at the fire department. You guys have done a great job, in my opinion, in crafting a document that's moving in the right direction. Thanks for that, Austin. Great job.
We should probably also mention how the union stepped up to the plate on this, too.
Absolutely.
And they made some concessions, and they negotiated in good faith, and it's appreciated that we didn't have to go to arbitration or lawyer up, as they say. So this is probably one of the best negotiations we've had going so far. So that's good. We'll take any. Let's see here.
Yeah, I think definitely. The teamwork and the esprit de corps are evident, and I'm really happy to see that we're able to work together and everybody's pointed in the same direction. I think that's a great thing. It speaks well for the entire staff.
Anyone else have anything to bring to the table on this? Mr. Beach? Come on up.
As best I can.
I've been a continual critic of the fire department's budget. I'd like everybody to know that I like Gary. He was my next door neighbor while we spent a lot of time together, probably chit-chatting over the fence. But my question is, we put all these dollars into these folks that go to Carson City and lobby. Does anybody give any consideration to lobby the state for a out? The state doesn't have any recognition of unions. They recognize the union, but they don't give them. They can't collective bargain. Has anybody thought of getting our lobbyists going there and getting the small counties exempt, just like the state exempts herself, like 10,000 people counties or less? Then we set the wages of the county, and they got to take them. And the benefits too. To save our county and all small counties a lot of money. And I just can't believe it couldn't happen. Plum goes up and talks to the governor. Why don't you talk about that? Because once you get rid of, they call it, in the state, they call it collective begging. Because they can't, they don't have any hammer at all, but just beg. And it keeps the wages down. And we recently had in the cop shops, It was Clark County. They were stealing people from the state. The state would go take these people and train them on post. And whenever they graduated, the county would have people out there hiring them because they can pay them better money. That was a lot better money. So the state never could staff up the prisons. Now they made it that they aren't able to collective bargain, they're going to be locked down in the county, in the cop shops, in our department down here, the jail. Those people are going to come under different rules. And I don't know why we couldn't get it blanketed for all the seven or eight small counties. We've got about over half of our counties are really tiny, and it's a big handicap on us. You know, that money don't just grow on trees. Lance is working every day to grow the pie, but it seems to get smaller and smaller. And I'd like you to consider that.
Thank you, Mr. Beach. Anyone else? Okay, this time I'll call for the motion.
Well, at this time then, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move that we approve the modification and the extension of the collective bargaining agreement between Story County Fire Protection District and Story County Firefighters Association Local 4227.
No second.
Okay. We move to second it to approve the collective bargaining agreement between Story County Fire Protection District and Local 4227. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Okay.
Let's recess to convene instead of adjourn. Item 11 should be recessed, not adjourned.
Are we done with the fire protection?
We'll come back to it.
Okay. At this time, we'll recess and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. We'll go ahead and move on to item 12. This is staff reports. Let's see here. Joe, you have anything today?
Mr. Chairman, only just a continued reminder of our May 17th evacuation exercise in the Highlands. We've had a number of planning meetings, and I think it's going along real well. Meetings we've had with the Fire Safety Council has had significant participation in the attendance at the meeting. We're having another one April 17th with the homeowners association, the Fire Safety Council folks, and hope to have some more people. So other than that, we're doing our regular things and moving along with that exercise, which I think is going to be a very successful situation.
Great. Thank you. Get all that? Okay. Sherry.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. Just a couple of things to report on this morning. The Mark Twain Health Fair on March 22nd was a great success in partnership amongst many different county agencies and outside service providers. We had probably about 50 people attend. We were kind of blown away at that amount. We didn't expect doing it the first year that we'd have that many, but it was a great event. Appreciate everyone who was there, took the time out on a Saturday to be there all day. So we look forward to expanding that event in the future. The Virginia City Senior Center was awarded a community development block grant last week in the amount of $25,000. That'll be used to upgrade their kitchen facilities. They'll be getting a new refrigerator, a couple of new stoves, and new countertops, which is severely needed in that facility as it hasn't really been upgraded in about 30 years. So the Canyon GID project was not successful in receiving funding. I was on the advisory committee this year, and we had a tough job. We had about twice the amount of requests than we had funding, so we had to cut by about 50%. It was quite a process, but a great opportunity, and their project just didn't come out on top. So we'll encourage them to apply again in the future. The free dump event will be held in Virginia City on May 2nd and 3rd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the transfer station located on R and Washington Streets. There will also be free dump events at the Lockwood Landfill this week starting April 3rd through 5th, 10th through 12th, and 17th through 19th from 8 to 4:30 p.m. And that is everything that I have today. Anyone has any questions for me?
Just a quick comment. Thank you so much for the health fair in Mark Twain. I attended, and I had my shots. You know, they set me behind. Well, actually, I didn't put the curtain up. But I got all my shots, so I'm now rabies free. whatever for. It was well organized. There were booths everywhere. I was amazed at how many people you put in there.
Yeah.
Everything from helpful eating to blood pressure checks. The fire department was there doing their thing. It was really well run and well organized, and thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I know Ann was there, and she saw about 25 folks in her little legal, you know, advising on living wills and powers of attorney. So that was very successful. And we had a great day. We signed up people on the health exchange. I think they signed up like 4 people. So we got in before that March 31st deadline. So we were really, really pleased with how everything turned out.
Well done. Congratulations to the board.
Wouldn't have been possible without Adam and Laura and several of the folks on there.
Congratulations to the board down there. That little board is really taking charge. They're doing a great job, and we appreciate them a lot.
Moving and shaking.
Yep.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks, Sherry.
Sherry, could you repeat those dump days again, please?
Oh, sure.
One more time.
Yeah, April 3rd through 5th.
Okay.
10 through 12, okay. And 17 through 19.
Thank you.
From 8 to 4:30 p.m.
Dave, you have something from communications today?
I'm not going to report it.
All right, thank you. Adam, do you have anything to report today?
Adam Robello, Mark Twain Community Center Chairman. As Sherry stated, the health fair was a great success. Couldn't have done it without her help and the rest of the county that participated. We attended the last parade for St. Patrick's Day. We had, I think, 15 to 20 family members from the community march with us in the parade. We were really surprised about the turnout for that. We're getting increased attendance at our meetings. It fluctuates. We go from a full room to a half a room, but can't expect everyone to attend everything. So we're really pleased with that. We're getting good attendance. The library's up and running. It's open every Thursday. It alternates from, I think, 9 to 1, one Thursday, and then from 1 to 7, I think, the alternating Thursday. Our bank account is growing. In less than a year, we've had donations that have totaled up to $600 in the community. So we haven't spent any of it. We don't have anything to spend it on. Our application process for a business license is in the works, I do believe. Ron just took care of the state, so we should be getting granted the county shortly. Still waiting on the 501c3 from the federal. Mike has got his crew getting ready to do some repairs on the building that will be necessary for the approval of our county license. And we thank you for that. And for Sherry for getting them going. And that's about all I've got. Everything seems to be going good. We're making small strides. And do I have any questions?
Just a good job, Adam.
Great.
You started from scratch, and you're making a difference.
Thank you.
And it was great to see you all turn out for that parade. That was awesome.
Thank you again.
Adam, did you change the website address down there?
The website was shut down. The webmaster no longer wishes to support us on that. So we do have a Facebook page. It's Mark Twain CC at Facebook. The plan to get another website up and running is in the works. I don't know when that'll happen, but it's
a nice job you did on that website. I thought it was a great website. I sure liked it.
We'll be getting another one up.
Get it back up again, yeah.
Anything else?
Thanks for your efforts, Adam.
Thank you. You guys all have a great day.
Thank you. You also. Ms. Seddon, anything from the assessor's office today?
Nothing.
Nothing. Ms. Chapman. Mike?
Bill says I'm limited to 3 minutes, so we'll see how it goes. He's got a call. Good morning, Commissioners. Mike Nevin for the record. Just a couple of items of interest regarding the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Park. We've completed about 99% of the crack sealing down there on county-owned asphalt. The major culvert cleaning on Portofino is about 98% complete, and those were the seven big 4-foot culverts across there just up from USA Parkway. We've also contracted with Wood Rogers Engineering, a small contract of $4,750 to complete a comprehensive road maintenance analysis survey of that area. And then that will include the development of a prioritization list of future pavement maintenance projects. So we're looking forward to seeing how that comes about and turns out. And if we like the product, we may ask that they prepare a proposal for us for the other areas of the county that we have responsibility for pavement maintenance. So we look forward to receiving that shortly, I think. I think they anticipated we'd have something within a couple of weeks. So. Got an email yesterday from our insurance adjuster, ASC, through Pool Pact on the sweeper loss, and I was a little bit relentless, but it turned out that we're going to get about $2,500 more than their original appraisal on the actual cash value, so we should be receiving a check for almost $131,000 towards the replacement cost for the new sweeper. The remaining funds will come, hopefully, from the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection through an air quality program, and these are fees that are placed in the program through administrative assessments, and it looks like our request for the additional $116,000 is going to be approved, so that's some good news. It won't have to be funded through, you know, other county sources. So I'll be getting together with Hugh and Pat to see if we can go ahead and maybe get this piece of equipment on order, because it's going to be 4 to 5 months before we see a new one. So the sewer treatment plant bid opening is next Thursday at Far West Engineering. We'll open the bids and then hopefully recommend an award for this board at your April 15th meeting. We're anticipating construction to begin sometime late July, and this is due to the fact that you have to order the equipment and have that built. So there's no sense in doing any dirt work down there until the equipment has arrived and is in place. Tomorrow, I'll be meeting with representatives of Comstock Mining on the 5 Mile Reservoir Rehabilitation Project. We did receive the documents from Far West Engineering on the design and engineering proposal for that project. So I'll be meeting with them to discuss the cost share and between the county, the Story County Water Department, and CMI. So, the flooring for the Lockwood Senior Center has been purchased. We hope to have the new flooring in by month's end down there. And then the rewiring project at the Gold Hill Depot is underway. And we hit it when we can, but they've made some substantial progress down there. So moving along, that's all I have to report. I'm a little bit over, a minute and 45 seconds over.
That's great. Thanks, Mike. James?
I have nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah? Thank you. Judge? Okay. Chief Ames?
Thank you. Good morning, Gary Hames for the record. Just a few updates on the fuel projects. I know that on the blog out there in the Highlands, there's been some discussions about us being on private property. I just want to clarify that for the board members and the public is we've been clearing along Laughstown Road. Laughstown is a county-owned easement. It's 90 foot wide. The pavement is about 40 feet average, and we've been clearing 15 feet, which is about 70 feet total. So we've been leaving some buffer even on the county easements. I know you have a long meeting, so I'll try to make this quick. The Geiger Grade project is slated to start, barring any snow, this Thursday. They've begun slightly on the top and bottom where they can without traffic controls. We're hopeful that that'll get done in about 5 days or so. There's a lot of trimming that will happen out there, a lot of dead tree removals, dying trees. So that starts Thursday. We'll probably go the rest of this week and well into next week. Our water tenders are getting refurbished by Burton's Fire Apparatus in Modesto. The first one should be back next week, and then the following second one within 2 weeks after that. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay.
And I made up Mike's time difference, too, I think. I was at minute 23.
No. Austin, have you anything today?
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. I just want to let our team know we are in the middle of open enrollment for insurance this year, for health benefits insurance. I never thought in my life I'd be excited about insurance, but what we have done this year and what's happening with our benefits package actually is a lot of fun. We put together a benefits committee of members of our team, especially those who, you know, use benefits more frequently than others sometimes or otherwise have involvement. And we've all given ideas on how to make things more efficient, how to make things provide better coverage with less money, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to get a huge amount of support to our new insurance broker, LP Insurance. These guys have been absolutely amazing. They live for this stuff, and it shows. And we've come up with a program that we are emphasizing health savings account in Story County. As we all know, this is the direction the country is going with health benefits, meaning a health savings account type of thing. It's a substantial savings to the county in premiums. In addition, it provides employees not only better coverage, we believe, but more options and more control of their own health plans, as opposed to having a traditional type of a health benefits plan like an HMO or a PPO. We do still offer the PPO, but we're really pushing for that HSA because of those benefits and those savings. And fortunately, we've had a great turnout to our open enrollment sessions, and we have a lot of employees asking a lot of questions about the HSAs, and some of them already say, yeah, I want to get into that, I'm interested in it. And myself, I'm just really excited about this whole thing. It's not only going to be great for employees, but great for our fiscal direction this year as well as in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. See, Ms. Amber Crombie just showed up. Do you have anything to report today with the library or community chest? It's five demerits, by the way.
Yeah. Hopefully I won't accumulate too many.
No gold star for you.
Pam Abercrombie, community chest. We did have a very successful annual fundraiser last weekend with Ramble and Jack Elliott. We sold over 170 tickets. We now have a couple fundraisers coming up. The Cal Bus is doing a fundraiser with Story County Fire and Story County Police against Lyon County Fire and Lyon County Police basketball tournament, and that'll be May 3rd. We're really excited about that. Information will start coming out, and then also we'll be doing a community yard sale on May 3rd. I will have a very long day. So those are two events that will be coming up pretty soon. The library is almost organized. As soon as it's completely organized at both locations, we'll be extending our hours, either 1 or 2 hours a day, depending on where she's at with our organization. So, thank you.
Pam, for your community website.
Oh, certainly.
Did Bill have questions for?
Perfect. Yeah, we're taking large items, vehicles. We're taking just about anything.
I'll share it. Maybe she can work it.
Okay. Is there another question?
I think so. We're good to go.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing for me, Mr. Chairman, this time.
Mr. Maddox?
I've received complaints about political signs going up. We have an ordinance in Story County, and the state has a statute that prohibits putting up political signs until April 11th, which is 60 days before the primary. So if you've got a political sign up, take it down until April 11th, or you're in violation of our local ordinance. On the other hand, another question's come up. If you've got these magnetic signs on the side of your cars, we don't have an ordinance governing that, so if you want to put a political sign on the side of your car and drive around with it, you're fine. But anybody that's got political signs up should take them down until April 11th. That's all I have.
Thank you. Slinger?
Ann Langer. I just did want to mention the health fair down in Mark Twain. It was incredible how many people did attend and how professionally it was held. There was a nutrition portion of it that I felt like I was on the Rachel Ray cooking show in the audience. It was incredibly informative. We had gone, the district attorney's office, the sheriff's office, and We Care on the Wednesday before the health fair to present the wills and powers of attorney for financial and medical decisions. We probably handed out 50 packages and talked with about 75 people within a week regarding their wills and powers of attorney. So I believe that week was very helpful for the seniors in the Story County. We're also working with the other seniors, but those seniors are the seniors in high school. We were called. There is it's more of an event than a competition that's been going on for quite some time regarding Law Day, which is May 1st. The Nevada Supreme Court holds an event where high school seniors in government classes attend, and they present an argument based on a case in front of the Nevada Supreme Court. So 36 government students from the high school have been working on a case out of 1874 regarding a woman's right to vote. They've all been very excited about it. It's Mr. Shropshire's government class. The students have to write a brief and do the oral presentation before the Nevada Supreme Court on the May 1st. We are going to have an event here at the courthouse either on Monday the 28th or Tuesday the 29th, where the students are going to do the mock version of their oral argument to the Supreme Court. The community is invited. Hopefully we're going to be able to take this as a period piece of 1874 and have the kids in costume when they make the presentation. D.A. Maddox is now going to become Judge Maddox again, and he's going to be the sitting Supreme Court Justice. So hopefully everybody attends, and I think it's going to be real exciting for the kids. Mr. Shropshire was really amazed at all the involvement that so many of them wanted to be involved in. I went up there last week and spoke to the classes, and I was really amazed at just the questions and their interest. And Judge Harrington is working with us too. She'll be there. It's a group effort. So May 1st, Law Day, and our dress rehearsal either April 28th or 29th.
Great. Thank you. Next up, Special Counsel Morris. Do you have anything today, Bob?
Nothing today.
Sheriff Jerry?
Just a few things. I'm sure everybody's heard about the home invasion that we had out in the Highlands last week. We're still running down leads. Nothing new to report on that right now, but just want to reassure everybody we're still living in a great place. We still have a lot of safety. This is one of those unusual anomalies that periodically spring up, and have great faith that we won't be too long before we have somebody in custody for it. The other thing I want to mention, some of you may be aware if you got Pat's email or call over the weekend. About 10 months ago, we started up a citizen emergency response team. They handle any number of things, help with events. They conduct search and rescue. We wound up calling them out over the weekend. We have two teams, one on each side of the county. The northern team got called out for some overdue parties. They went in from Lockwood. Washoe County came in from Hidden Valley trying to search the area where these overdue parties have been. They found the people. Everybody was happy and healthy, just had a broken down vehicle. So this is actually the third time that the Northern CERT team has been out in the last 8 months, doing a great job. And lastly, just by way of information, anybody who's not on Facebook, and if you ever had any doubts, I can attest to the fact that Lake Tahoe is cold this time of year. On Saturday, we were up there on a fundraising event for Special Olympics Nevada. The Sheriff's Office raised about $800. Myself, Sergeant Quirk, Sergeant Dozen, and Correction Officer Melissa Reed all took a nice little dip in Lake Tahoe, and it is very cold this time of year. So, any questions?
Thank you. Mr. Whitman?
Okay, I'll try to be brief. To follow, Joe mentioned the evacuation drill. This is going to be an interesting drill, as I understand it, because the two primary focuses aren't the traditional focus that we do when we look at wildland fire. Is actually testing predominantly the sheriff's office and these CERT teams in terms of the evacuation that occurs and is tied to that event. And then also, believe it or not, Joe's testing himself as emergency management in the shelter phases of this. So it's going to be an exciting thing. Lance, you mentioned that because you got your shots down in Mark Twain, I believe also on that Saturday, May 17th, animal evacuations factor into this, and there will be organizations present that we can also microchip you so you can't wander off too far. Paul Kwong is sending out to all water and sewer users in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City one more survey, a final. The initial results and the response rates were poor. If we're going to attract the interest of somebody like Southwest Gas to want to bring in natural gas in lieu of propane, and just to remind you why we would want to do that, we're probably currently paying somewhere around $3 a gallon for propane. Natural gas is being given in its gallon equivalent at about $1 a gallon down in Dayton right now. So the survey is pretty simple. I signed off on it this morning. Just would you consider converting, because there will be some costs. Would you consider converting? If so, what is your annual either gallon consumption or dollar cost, and about how much do you pay so we can back into that? And then what appliances would you have, from the range to the water heater to the furnace, those types of things? I can't stress enough how important it is to get those back if you live on the Comstock or if you do business up here. So please get those back, because it's going to take an awful lot to convince Southwest to invest $1 million a mile to bring gas up here. And I don't have the specifics on this, so I'm looking for my friends out there that may know more, like Pam. Friday night from 5 to 7, I think, at the Yellow Jacket, in and around our depot down there, there will be a rededication. The Comstock Historic Foundation, through CMI, has done an awful lot of work. This is a fundraiser for a number of good organizations. I believe the library and a number of our other nonprofit partners. So please, if you can attend, bring your checkbook. And lastly, and I'm real pleased to announce progress on a long-term project, particularly with my friend Mr. Clark, who just walked in the room. We are imminent now on closing escrow on the four houses directly to the south of us. They are all vacant. I have keys to all four. We're just waiting for the paperwork. We dropped off the checks yesterday. So you'll start seeing some exciting things happening there. We have actually three different groups or people that are interested in the houses. The requirement is they have to stay on the Comstock.
The Cemetery Foundation is interested in establishing kind of a small visitor center with one of the houses, so we're working with Candace. And then I have two other individuals that are, you know, hoping to relocate the other three and still use them as housing. So, Bill, thank you. It's been a pleasure working with you and with Ron Gallagher, too. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Stevens?
I don't have
anything. Nothing there. Okay. Did I miss anybody? I hate to miss anybody.
Nope.
Okay. Why don't we move on to item 13, board comment. Commissioner Shevega?
I have a few things. First of all is Sunny Hills. I'd like to get, if we could, staff working on that with the county manager and whoever else needs to be involved, and start formulating the question and the arguments for that. Is that a doable?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And get that set up to get that on the ballot. I believe we have till July 22. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we've got a little bit of time to work with on that, but it seems like with all the information that I've gathered and all the meetings that I've been to on that, that that is the generally the direction that the residents in the Highlands definitely want to go. And it'll be on, I guess, according to legal counsel, on the countywide ballot. That's question will be out there, and then we can examine that after the election. So, but that's that seems to be the preponderance of everyone's wishes out there, is to let them vote on it. And I think that's a good idea, to get an advisor on that. Let's see, next, and I'd like to get that probably agendized on the April 15th agenda. I think we can get something on there about that. Went to with DA Maddox and our planner, Mr. Osborne, to an interesting marijuana class last week in Carson City. It was kind of interesting. All of the questions that come up about the legalization and of medical marijuana, and we learned, I think, a great deal about how to grow it, where to sell it, who our customer base is. I think right now there's about 6,500 people that are registered throughout the state who wish to purchase it. So not a real big market thus far on medical marijuana. I don't know if there's, 6,500 people statewide. I don't know if there's enough profit in it, but to do anything with it. But it showed the statewide thing, and we got feedback from all of the counties, the different ways that they have attacked the thing, and some have decided that not to sell it, some want to grow it, some don't want anything to do with it. So I think we've learned and a lot of things that I was not aware of. So very interesting. And let's see, my last thing was, this month, later in the month, I don't remember the exact date, but Carlin McPartland up in the Highlands is putting together a meeting to with some of the other Highlands folks out there kind of spearheading this to sit down and see if the Highlands folks can't come up with a list of needs and wants out in the Highlands from, I've heard, better horse corral for evacuation, community center. One of the county commissioners asked for a airport out there, you know, things like that that we could do. So I think that's a great opportunity to finally get a written type list that we can work from on that. What was that, Nicole?
April 22nd.
Okay. That's something else, too, isn't it?
Tuesday. It's a Tuesday.
Okay. That's right. Okay. So April 22nd, then, is the meeting out there. So, okay. So finally, we'll get a list of from those folks. That's a good thing.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman.
I don't have a lot of comments today. I may have a little problem with my throat, so
okay.
I'll save it for later in the meeting.
Very good. The only thing I have is on this home invasion that occurred in the Highlands. It's a time to rethink about where you live, because almost everywhere we live in Story County is rural. Even parts of Virginia City outside of the main district, we're rural, and so we have to keep an eye out for our neighbors. You know, we have to. I mean, this goes right back to every time you see something unusual that goes in. It's always in small town America, and everyone always says they would never guess what happened in their community. And that's right here in our community too. So we have to look out for our neighbors, and I too am a proponent of the Second Amendment. So I think you should always arm and defend yourself. So. It's better to be judged by 12 than buried by 6. So, in any event, we're going to take a 10-minute recess.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.